Amen. Amen. He is risen. I'm going to try that one more time. We call that call and response. So when I say you get an opportunity to speak, here we go. One more time. He is risen. Cool. I know some of y'all haven't had your coffee yet. I get it. I'm just happy that you're here. This is Easter. We're so excited that you're here with your family today to be with us, with God together. And we believe that God has a special word for you today. If you've ever been to a magic show or you've ever watched anything on television with great illusionists, you may have heard them start their presentation with something like this. Get ready to witness the impossible. And then they prepare this breathtaking trick. Have you ever seen this? Yes, some of you? Who's been to an actual show? Like two of you, great, okay. How many have seen it on TV at least? Yeah, like six, that's better. We're getting better, okay. Well, there's people out there called illusionists and they do tricks. And they always try to get you to, you know, get ready for this amazing, breathtaking trick. And sometimes it really is. And I've seen some great Christian illusionists who use it to share the gospel. And it's pretty amazing. But about 2,000 years ago, Jesus showed up on the world scene. And there was a world watching, witnessing the impossible. And in fact, Jesus begins this by showing up being born of a virgin. That's pretty crazy. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Not only does the King of Kings decide to show up on earth to begin this 33 and a third year journey to give his life a ransom for many, but he does it by doing the impossible. He shows up in a virgin and has a virgin birth, and the world is witnessing the impossible. That's how Jesus shows up on the scene, doing the impossible. I want you to hear this 100 times today, the word impossible, because I think so many times in our lives, we let that word dictate our future. But Jesus shows up and exploits that word and totally decides to defy all logic. In John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, we see that Jesus shows up at a wedding. This is one of his very first miracles, and they're at this wedding celebration. And if you know anything about these celebrations, it wasn't a 30-minute ceremony, okay? Not how we do things here. It was generally about a week long, and there was a lot that went into it, and there was a lot of celebration and a lot of eating and a lot of partying, okay? It was a really big deal. And so when you read this story about Jesus at this wedding, we get this idea that he was invited there, and his mother was invited there, and his family was invited there because there was some type of relationship. They weren't just guests crashing a wedding party. And in fact, at one point, the wine runs out. How many of you guys know this story? The wine runs out. Mary walks up to Jesus and says, Jesus, hey, listen, we're out of wine. So can you do something about that? And it's the interesting part of scripture because Jesus looks at his mom and says, woman, it is not my time yet. And there's a shift happening in Jesus' life where he goes from being a child of Mary to being the Son of God, where he begins to walk in his ultimate purpose, and he's drawing a distance there, helping his mother understand that while he loves and honors and respects her, his obligation is not to her as much as it is to God. He says, not my time yet. So Jesus does this amazing thing. He does this amazing thing, and I love this because so many times we're like, man, I'm in the middle of this crazy situation. I really need a breakthrough. But there's nobody dying here. There's nobody that's crippled here. This is just, they're out of wine, okay? Jesus tells the servants, he says, go get all this water, and I want you to bring it to the main person. And the main person drinks and is like, yeah, that's the best wine that we've had all night. But listen to this. The water that Jesus chose was the ceremonial cleansing water. Jesus took the dirty water and turned it into the best wine. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Some of you guys walked in here today and you still feel guilty. You still feel like you're not good enough. You still feel like because of what you're wrestling with, God doesn't love you and he doesn't see you for the value that you truly carry. But that's not the truth. See, God takes the dirty water and turns it into the best wine. And there was a world watching, witnessing the impossible. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52, there's a story about this guy, and his name was, we'll just call him Bart. He was blind. See, he couldn't see. He didn't have the ability to open his eyes and see what color robe he was wearing, or if his hair looked the way that he wanted it to that day. He couldn't see. And this is an incredible story of Jesus the Messiah, Jesus reaching out to this blind man and giving him sight. And there was a world watching, witnessing the impossible. John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, there's a man who's been crippled for about 38 years laying next to a pool. And Jesus walks up to this man and says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man says, "I can't." And Jesus says, "I don't think you hear what I'm saying. I'm asking you, do you want to be healed?" And the man says, "I can't, because every time I try to get up in time to get down to the pool, other people beat me there." Because see, traditionally, once a year, an angel would show up at that pool and whoever got to that water first would be healed, and he never could make it down. And so Jesus is asking this man, "Do you want to be healed? What do you want?" Jesus heals this crippled man. And he gets up right there in the moment. And he's no longer crippled. He's not walking with a half limp. He's healed, fully, completely restored. He's not a cripple any longer. That's no longer his identity. And Jesus stands and says, "What do you want?" As the world is watching, witnessing the impossible. Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 37, we see that Jesus heals the deaf. I don't know if you've ever had an experience where you couldn't hear. I remember the first time I flew on an airplane. It was awesome and terrible all at the same time. It was exhilarating on the takeoff. It felt like a really cool version of a roller coaster. And then this thing started happening in my ears. Who has flown before? You know what I'm talking about. Remember that first time you flew? It was terrible. And then the landing, you know, it starts to happen again, and like it's like your ears melting or something. And then you land and you hit that runway and you stop faster than you've probably ever stopped before. I don't know if you know what it's like to not be able to hear. Sometimes you may be the one coming to church on Sunday, standing during worship, going to Sunday school class, attending the Bible study, but you still walk home and say, "I wish I could hear from God. I come to church, I do the right things, but I wish I could hear from God." And Jesus heals this deaf man. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18 through 33, there's a girl that is dead, and then there's this woman who has an issue of blood for 12 years, and Jesus heals them both. A little girl that is dead, no longer breathing, and a woman who has sought all kinds of help everywhere and has found none, and Jesus heals them both. And there's a world watching, witnessing the impossible. And then we get to what this day is all about, the Passover. On Friday, we celebrate Good Friday because it is the Passover. It is when Jesus comes as the perfect, spotless lamb to pay for the sins of the whole world. And while the high priests were in the temple sacrificing lambs and animals to cover people's sins, Jesus was dying to cleanse them. Jesus was on the cross to remove them and to get rid of them. And Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be free. This wasn't about covering and atoning for our sin anymore. Jesus came to forever cleanse and remove them so that we could be restored into a right relationship with God the Father. And Jesus died on that cross. And let me tell you another miracle. Jesus is on the cross, and while he's on the cross, he decides when he's going to die. And he saves somebody in the process and forgives the other person next to him, the thief on the cross. He forgives him in the process. And then he says, "Okay, now I'm done. It is finished." And he took his last breath. And while hell was rejoicing, and while the enemy thought that he had won, and the world thought that their coming king had failed, and that the Messiah was just a fake, and they didn't know what to do, and they didn't know how to respond, 3 days later, while Jesus had been underneath the tomb, listen, let me break this down for you. In the Old Testament law, God wrote the law on stone tablets. Jesus was in the tomb, crushed by the law. The stone was rolled in front of the tomb. He allowed the law to crush him so that he could crush sin, so that he could defeat death with death itself. And then Jesus came back to life 3 days later and rolled the stone away on his own while the world was watching, witnessing the impossible. And for 40 days, Jesus showed up, revealing himself to over 500 witnesses, telling them he was the Messiah. He was the king. He wasn't just the suffering savior anymore. He was the conquering king, and he has done what he said he came here to do. And he even walked through a wall at one point to reveal himself. And they witnessed the impossible. So many of you feel like the stone is covering the tomb of your marriage, the tomb of your parenting. You feel like you're defeated in your career path, or you're frustrated and wrestling with so many things, and you feel like the stone is just too heavy to roll away, and you can't get up and roll it yourself, and you don't know what to do, and you don't know who to talk to, and you feel like if you talk about it, you're ashamed, or maybe you don't have enough faith. But let me tell you something. This day is not about what you need to do. This day is about what Jesus has already done. Jesus already rolled the stone away. Jesus already defeated death. All Jesus asks for you to do is to say, I believe. I believe. I believe, Jesus. And God is challenging you today to believe him for the impossible. Would you believe him for the impossible? He is risen. Come on, people, one more time. He is risen.
Listen to the story. Come on.
they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon.
Specifically for the purpose of dying and covering over our sins. We thank you for that sacrifice. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'm stealing your stand. So I want to hear it again. He is risen.
He is risen.
That's better. We're getting it. We're getting it. You see, Jesus is the life. Life is all about him. He brings new life with him. Everywhere he goes, new life happens. This is who Jesus is. Life's greatest calling. The reason we are here is to be witnesses to the life that Jesus offers. There is nothing more important. We witness the impossible, as Jason was saying before. But here's the thing. With Jesus, nothing is impossible. Everything is possible when Jesus is in the game. And that is what we are doing. You see, Easter is not a day. I know we call Easter today, but Easter is not a day. Easter is a lifestyle. Easter is something that happens each and every day, because when Jesus is with you, new life happens. The impossible becomes the possible. Every day is Easter. Every day is new life day. I got to tell you, folks, being with Jesus is an exciting thing. It is the reason that life matters. And we are his witnesses. But can I tell you, to be a witness to anything, you got to be able to do two things. To be a witness for anything, whether it's a court trial, whether it's for Jesus, it doesn't matter. You have to have knowledge of who you're witnessing about, and you have to have experienced the events that you're talking about. Otherwise, you can't witness. In a courtroom, for example, there are two kinds of witnesses. One, there's the witness who's trying to convict the guilty, the one who wants to tell you that person needs to be convicted. And then the other witness there is the one who's trying to free the innocent. And the funny thing about being a witness for Jesus Christ is we are both. We stand before God declaring that we are guilty, that we have messed up, and then we testify that God himself, through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection on the cross, has said, you are now innocent. And so we convict ourselves, and then we recognize that Jesus saves us. And so what we do when we witness is we go out and tell people about that. We tell people the truth. We tell people that Jesus has called us, because what he does is he's calling each and every one of you to freedom, to new life, to experience the impossible. When you answer the invitation that Jesus gives you, you join a great family of witnesses throughout the centuries that have stood and fought and lived and died and breathed and laughed and cried, but they have all testified that Jesus rose from the dead and that he lives. And the life he offers is the greatest life of all. There is nothing higher. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, I want to just hit three verses for you real quick. Verses 1 through 3, it says, therefore, and this is talking about, this is a challenge to each one of us who say yes to Jesus. It is a challenge to all who would consider themselves to be a witness. And it throws out to everyone who is not yet a follower of Jesus Christ to consider him. Look what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. And they're talking about the beatings and the whippings and all the things that those little kids were talking about. But it was no joke. Jesus went through those things so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. He set the example. And now he calls each and every one of you to join the faithful from throughout history, to be a difference maker, to be a hero for somebody who doesn't know him yet, to testify with joy that freedom has risen from the grave forever. You ever been scuba diving? Anybody? Scuba diving? Okay, we got about the same number of people that scuba dive that watch TV. Okay, I'm with you. Okay, let me tell you what happens when you go scuba diving. When you go scuba diving, you put on a weight belt. And you put on a weight belt because if you don't, you can't go under the water. But you put on about 30 to 60 pounds of weight. And you know what happens when you do that? You sink like a stone. And if you want to come back to the surface, you've got to drop that weight. Because if you don't drop that weight, you're not getting back to the surface. And that's what they're trying to tell us here, that you have to drop the weight to come up. And that's what you do when you follow Jesus Christ. You drop the weight. You drop the things that hold you back. You drop the sin. There are two things that give you victory. And as I said, when you drop the weight, you know what the weight is? The weight are things that divert your attention. It's the things that zap your energy. It's the things that cause you to lose your enthusiasm for Jesus. And of course, we need to beware of the sin that tries to trap us and drag us back down when we come up for breath. You do those two things, and you're going to run the race of life successfully. There is nothing that can stop you. And when you do that, you begin to lift your eyes to Jesus. And then you see what the verse says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So the verse tells us to consider Jesus. Because as we consider Jesus, we consider his word, his victory, his life, his path, and his overwhelming value. Because he has done the impossible for you. He has made a way home for you. You see, Jesus is the one who will set you free. He is the only one who can bring you home. He is the guide. He is the king. He is the author of our salvation. And he calls you to give your life to what really matters. He calls you to give your life to be an active part of God's family. To be one who is accounted amongst the faithful, one who stands up and says yes to him, one who finds their place in God's family. And you can only do this because the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty because Jesus lives and he's brought the new life with him. Don't you ever wish you could see miracles like the resurrection? I mean, don't you, wouldn't it be great if like every day stuff was like that was happening and you say, well, I could witness if I could just show people some miracles, if I could see that, or if I could see it and then I could show it. And then, because no one ever says, you know what, I'd come to faith. I would be a follower of Jesus, but I'm just so sick of all the miracles happening. If just less people were coming back to life, less good stuff was happening, less lives were changed, I'd be a believer. No one ever says that. Ever. The problem is, though, is that people don't think that really happens. Somehow we think that we're here talking about Jesus and we're just talking about stuff that happened 2,000 years ago and we're looking backwards all the time. But can I tell you today that is the farthest thing from the truth? With the right lens, with the right view on life, with the right outlook, with right understanding of who Jesus is, you will find out that those miracles happen around you each and every day. I'm proof of it. Miracles do happen. I was dead before Jesus found me. Oh yeah, I was breathing. I was walking around, but I was dead. I was spiritually gone. And yet I stand before you today because Jesus brought me back. And can I tell you, there are people in this room all around you who have experienced the same thing. You see, the miracle of resurrection happens every single time somebody comes to faith. Every single time somebody says yes to Jesus, they are born again to a new life. The old life is gone, the new has come. And it's an amazing thing, and I get to see it all the time in you. And in the witnesses from all around the world who stand up and say, I have seen him. I have talked to him. And so I ask you this morning, are you really alive? I know you're breathing. I know you're walking around. But are you like I was? Do you feel dead inside? Do you look at your life and say, there's got to be more? Do you look at your life and say, if only there was a miracle? Can I tell you this morning that Jesus wants to raise you to new life? Jesus wants you to breathe, to be who you were called to be, to join his family. So I ask you this morning, are you ready for new life? Are you ready for new life? Because if you are, Jesus is ready for you. Jesus has been expecting you. Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is calling you. He is shouting out to you, come to me and live. be fully alive. You see, Jesus didn't just raise himself on that Easter day. He raises everyone who says yes to him. He raises everyone to new hope. He raises everyone forever. And so this morning, I want to ask you, can you make this Easter the day that you decided, yes, yes? Can you make this day the day that you began to truly live? We're going to begin to sing in a moment. Paul is going to lead us in another song, and as we do, you're going to see that we're going to have some people that are going to take up our offering. Don't worry about that if you need to make a decision this morning, but we're going to be doing that because we're closing in on time. But friends, can I tell you, there is nothing more important than what is about to happen if you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There is nothing more important than the decision if you need to say yes. And so I ask you this morning, are you ready? If you're ready, we're going to get up and sing. I'm going to ask everyone to stand up right now. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, you need to be praying right now because there are people in this room that need to say yes to Jesus. There are people right now that are sitting there thinking, that's me. But I don't know. If that's you, can I tell you, Jesus loves you. Jesus has you here this morning so that you can say yes to him. So don't let this moment go by. Don't let this moment go by. Come down here and tell me about it while we're singing. I just want you to walk straight down here. Jason's going to be down here in a second. I'm going to be down here. I just want you to say yes to Jesus this morning. Let's sing.